The devil wants you chasing your tail. But just like a dog, he never catches it. Around and around and around he goes, but to no avail, until you are completely worn out and too worn out to do a good warfare. Satan will have you trying this and trying that, and nothing ever seems to work, and you receive no relief for all your grief. The last thing that Satan wants is for you to realize that it is only the Word of God that can defeat him. That's why it keeps you busy doing everything else but that. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. The Word of God is the weapon, and when engaged properly, it will work. I said, Lord, how long are we to do this? As long and as often as it takes for Satan to know that you are serious and he has to go. Satan has played you for a fool. You'll do it a while, and then you won't do it a while. So it gives Satan an open doorway to just keep coming back and harassing you. So how much of that did you not get? Just this portion?
All of it. Just part two, not what you did a while ago, just this one, spiritual warfare.
All right, then I'll just start over here. That's all I know to do. This is prayer call, strategic warfare. We're going to look at today at strategic warfare. This is what we have been trained for. And that's the short word that I gave you that the Lord said to me about Satan's tactics, what he uses to try to keep you distracted, because he wants you targeted. He wants you targeting the enemy, armed with your weapons, ready to be about his business. He knows full well what your business is about. He knows full well what you need. And he will see to it. But he's saying, seek first the kingdom. This is the reason you live. This is the reason you were born, for such a time as this. Like Esther, as I said before. For such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. You were selected by God for such a time as this. So don't say you can't do it, because he equips you to do it. We need to stop looking at what the devil's been doing and focusing so much of our time and attention on what he is doing. He gains power over us when we do that. This is a battle of the mind, just like there is a cyber war going on for the minds of men right now in the whole world, but it's also the individual. It's Satan's same tactic that he uses for you, he uses for the whole world. To get you focused on what he's doing. He big, bad, and ugly devil. And look what he's doing. No food, no gas, power outages, all this garbage. Don't believe it. Speak what you want. Say, oh no. No more valley of oh no. Oh no, devil. It's going to be the way I decree. Get up and get on out of here. Nobody wants you here. Nobody listens to you anymore. His narrative is waning thin. People are no longer believing it. And what happens? Why? They're starting to stand up and say, oh no, devil. You're not doing this to us anymore. We are not going to allow it. If you're waiting on the government to bail you out, they probably eventually will be part of this, but the Lord's waiting on you. His children that have his power and his might and have the say in the earth to speak what they want, to get their nation back, to get their town back, get their household back. I remember we weren't married for very long. And anyone born again yet and doing things, and I remember his mother coming over, and she kneeled down by us sitting in a chair, and she prayed and broke the devil off of our household. I have to give her that. It wasn't long after that, we moved to Kermit and went to the First Assembly of God there and got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. See, when you get fed up enough, you'll say, no more. No more. I don't want to be on this merry-go-round. I don't want to be under this spin zone. You know why they had the show, The Spin Zone? That's what the news does. That's what Satan does. It spins the truth. Think about the earth and it's spinning and being mixed up. Everything the devil does is all mixed up. And it's made men all mixed up. But we have control. Because the still small voice is peace. It stops the spinning. All right. 2 Corinthians 10. Just like the first word said, all our little means and methods and stuff we've grown up with, we can try this, try that, and everything else, and nothing ever seems to work. Well, God's way always works. 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And here it is, casting down imaginations. No, I'm not letting you take me there again in my mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Think about it. We're going to look at that today in the strategic warfare, Satan's high places. There's his high places are all over the earth. His networks, they're coming down. All right, how long are we supposed to do this? I asked the Lord, how long are we supposed to do this? Ephesians 6. I was talking to someone this week about, I said, most Christians don't even know how to use the name of Jesus or even war a good warfare. I said, they're just sitting on their suitcases waiting for the rapture while the devil takes over the earth. They couldn't do anything but agree. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They don't have time to listen to anything that you might want to give them that would help them for righteousness, but they're willing to wait and sit in doctor's offices for hours and pharmacy lines for hours, but they don't have time to read anything you send them that might bring light. All right, we're supposed to be in the power of His might. Not our might, going from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist, aid to aid, pill to pill, bottle to bottle. I'm telling you, the whole world's under this witchcraft. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These are spiritual weapons. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, or wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand! Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, not Satan's lies, truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, this is what salvation is. Soundness, wholeness, preservation, nothing missing, nothing broken. Righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it says here that you're to stand until the devil goes away. Just like the Lord told Danny years ago, faith is a stand that outlasts the devil. Just like with Jesus and his temptation in Luke chapter 4. After the temptation, it says Satan left him for a season. Spiritual warfare is a stand that outlasts the devil. Mixture will not be effective. All right, Galatians 5. They cannot work together. They will not work together. You choose you this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He was a faither. 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. This is that back and forth all the time, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's miserable. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Cannot. Satan is very strategic, and as spiritual warriors, we also have to be. We are not playing games here. This is very serious. We're going to look at some scriptures. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to show you what they did before they went into the promised land. What Moses had them do. Think about a natural military before they go into battle. You've seen movies where you see the big table with all the maps and the ships and all that, and the generals all around it. What are they doing? Strategic planning, battle plans. Okay. Chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came up unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishi and Talmi and the children of Anak were. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon the staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down, and thence they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So we know what happened here, but the thing is, they went for those 40 days and they scouted out the land. They found out what kind of people they were dealing with. They found out the giants were there. They found out, man, the produce is great. Look at these grapes. They went up to the mountain, they looked down, and they were looking at all different things as they strategized what their plan to go in would be. They didn't just, well, in the name of Jesus, we just bind you, and you know the how we pray. Like blowing fuzz off a peanut, maybe. Maybe not even that good. Just so quick to just, No, we got to go a little deeper. These things are embedded. They're entrenched. Joshua 2. And Joshua, verse 1, the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So they come into the land. See, we have what happened in Numbers chapter 13 all over again 40 years later. Joshua is sending them in to scout out the land because they're going to take Jericho. All right. Joshua 6. Now you're going to see the reason the Lord was so adamant about you staying with the petitions and not going off like a lone wolf and doing your own thing. Not saying you can't be led by the Spirit and add things to it, but the basic petition, you're to stay with it because we are a team, like an army, like a navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard, whatever. You don't fall out of rank. You don't disobey an order. We all say the same thing. We all do the same thing. Why? Because the Lord has a plan. He has a strategic battle plan for the areas He's going to have us take out. The program was good this morning. They did it right. See, these things are for a reason. One band, one sound. It don't matter if you agree with it or not. Nobody asks you if you agreed or not. This is what God's laid down. This is what had happened with Jericho. Don't speak. Don't say nothing. Until I say shout. Did they probably think, boy, this is a nutcase. They're thinking, he is a nut. He's making us look like a fool. But they didn't say nothing. Because they had saw what happened to their parents and grandparents. They didn't make it. Chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war. The Lord just said to me, I gave you those petitions to see if they would stick with it. Just like when he brought the children of Israel in, I'm going to see if they will obey me or not with the manna. They didn't. I venture to say today, you couldn't get them off their cell phone or anything else to do anything. I know Fred Price, he had them come up to the altar where they had steps up to their platform. He told them specifically, put your Bible in a certain place. A few did. The rest is all over the place. And they're wanting the power of God in their life. They're wanting all of these things, and they can't even obey a simple little instruction. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him. Well, they did it. And it happened. Exactly. They took the city. Exactly as the Lord said. Same way with Gideon. They won the battle with just obeying the Lord with no weapon. With a pitcher in one hand and a light in the other, candle in the other, or whatever it was. see what's 7. We're going to look at chapter 7. Look what happens. They were told not to take anything. Nothing. Don't take nothing. All right. 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. One guy polluted the whole shooting match. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. They got their you-know-whats kicked. The devil kicked their rears. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. See, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. Kind of like Ananias and Sapphira. And Joshua said also, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. It shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. See, he didn't look at it that one man had sinned. He looked at it the whole nation had sinned. And they didn't even know that they had done anything. Just because the bad people are taken out, that does not mean that the sin's been eradicated. It does not mean the pollution of our land has been fixed. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. So, they find the guy. They kill his whole family, bury him, stone him for what they did, so that things were right again. All right, just think of the detail of the enemy and his attacks going on worldwide. Satan and his minions are in every nook and cranny. They have infiltrated all 7 mountains of influence. The church is over here singing Kumbaya and waiting for the rapture. Satan is stealing, killing, and destroying. I don't know how many millions of babies have been murdered on the altar of Baal, Moloch, since 1970, whenever it was, Roe v. Wade. I want to show you something about Satan's strategic layout. Like I said, while the church is over there singing Kumbaya, come by here, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. Well, let's run that preacher out of town. They didn't bless me this week. I'm telling you, I've been to that church. Satanic, I've showed you this several years ago, but we're going to go through it today. I want you to see how strategic the enemy is. Satanic occult symbols in Washington, D.C., the scripture here, Revelation 2:9, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, Mystery Babylon, and the Illuminati. The Pentagon is an infinite occult symbol. It's the center of a pentagram, and a pentagram fits perfectly inside a pentagon. And he talks about Freemason phallic worshipers. So this is the Pentagon. All right. Talk about Satan and his high places. Obelisk are erect phallic penis symbols related to the Egyptian sun god Ra. The four sides of the Washington Monument are aligned with the cardinal directions, east, west, north, and south at the ground level. Each side of the monument measures 55.5 feet in width, which is equal to 666 inches on each side. The height of the obelisk is 555.5 feet, which is equal to 6,666 inches. This is the exact ratio of King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, which was 90 by 9 feet and 10 to 1 ratio. Christians have the cross, but Illuminatists have their phallic obelisk. The new Grand Phallus Obelisk symbol represents the sinister power of the global Illuminati elite in the world, One World Trade Center, replacing the old World Trade Center in New York. The new architectural wonder is exactly 1,776 feet tall, featuring the Great Pyramid in its design. This evidences that the satanic plot for world government has existed for millenniums and is perpetuating from generation to generation by occult organizations. So these things pass from generation to generation. They don't just go away because those people die. The word obelisk literally means bell's shaft or bell's organ of reproduction. This should be especially shocking when we realize that we have a gigantic obelisk in our nation's capital known as the Washington Monument. Here we got a big penis mocking God right in the middle of our capital city. Truly, I hope not the only Christian who has a problem with a giant erect male penis being the symbol of our nation. This is so perverted. Philippians 2:17, that ye may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Let me see here who, this is by David J. Stewart, updated August 2016, so give him the credit here for this. All right, the erect male phallus is an occult, ancient occult symbol of satanic power and strength. Is this the Luciferian ruling elite's way of mocking us as they debase, humiliate, rape, and dehumanize us? It's no coincidence that the Washington Monument was erected 6,666 inches tall. It's 66.6 inches wide. It has Satan's markings all over it. Luciferians have hijacked our nation, and they are in the process of setting up a police state that will rival World War II fascist Germany under Adolf Hitler. Just wait until America's guns are confiscated. It will happen. No, it's not going to happen. This is before President Trump started the storm or whatever you want to call it, the plan to save the world. He's just giving facts here about what we're dealing with. Now I want you to see here, this is D.C. There's the owl. It's mapped out like an owl. All these things are connected. You could say it's the satanic worldwide network. The Illuminati launched their plot 1775 for world government the next year in 1776 during the, or 1776, they put a comma here, 1776 Revolutionary War. The rebels no sooner broke away from England, establishing their own 13 colonies here in America. That should have been a clue, 13. But then tried to also overthrow Canada in the War of 1812. The Canadians weren't so easy to defeat, and the Illuminati were instead defeated and pushed back to the U.S. by Canada. The United States was founded by Freemasons with the primary intent of one day achieving world government, a.k.a. a new world order. U.S. President George Washington was a high-level Freemason, as were eight of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. The following evidence shows the Masonic control over Washington, D.C., the headquarters of our U.S. federal government. So these, what you could call these, are ley lines. This is the way this is mapped out, and it doesn't just stop here, though. It goes worldwide. All right, above, the mall in Washington, D.C. is laid out so the gardens and streets form the image of an owl. The owl is representative of the mythical goddess Lilith. Please read Bohemian Grove Exposed for much more information on the owl. You know, they have the giant owl carved out of a tree or whatever it is. The street design in Washington, D.C. has been laid out in such a manner that certain Luciferic symbols are depicted by the streets, cul-de-sacs, and rotaries. This design was created in 1791, a few years after Freemasonry assumed the leadership of the New World Order in 1782. So you think about the three city states, the pyramid of the three city states, gigantic ley lines that run all across, not just across cities, but across nations, across oceans. In Europe, occult leaders were told by their familiar spirits as early as the 1740s that the new American continent was to be established as the new Atlantis, and its destiny was to assume the global leadership of the drive of the New World Order. The United States of America was chosen to lead the world into this kingdom of Antichrist from the very beginning. The capital of Washington, D.C. is evidenced by the preponderance of occult symbols. George Washington, a 33-degree Mason, selected French Freemason Pierre-Charles L'Enfant to design the city's layout in Washington, D.C. See, they got their people and everything, and their people have been busy at work. They're not like Christians, lazy. The boundaries, present company excluded, of course. The boundaries of the city, established by George Washington in 1791, form a square 10 miles long on each side, centered on the originally proposed location for the Washington Monument. The east-west diagonal of the square crosses over the Capitol building, and the north-south diagonal crosses over the White House. The length of the north-south and east-west diagonals is 10 miles times the square root of 2, or 14.142 miles. This distance converts to 43,455 ancient Egyptian royal cubits. The same figure is the ratio between the Great Pyramid and the dimensions of the Earth. Talking about the spinning globe Earth, the fake Earth. The height of the Great Pyramid is 481.13 feet divided by 5,280 equals 0.911231 miles. This means the radius of the Earth is 3,960 miles divided by that way. The pyramid, all right, I'm not going to read all that. That's boring. Converting the radius and circumference of the Earth to cubits yields the same results. The first series of symbols I will point out with the seat of the executive branch of government, the White House, indicated by the red arrow above. If you are a Google Earth user, you can see these satellite images for yourself. It shows the pentagram. See? As you can see by my outline, the White House sits at the apex of an inverted pentagram. This symbol is incomplete by only two small pieces indicated by the yellow lines. See, everything's set up. It's all one big demonic sign, temple, worship network. The hexagram is never complete except for one small piece on the northwest side outlined in yellow. If you draw the pentagram and hexagram symbols together, you can see three sides of a cross. Finishing the symbol on the land sitting in front of the White House reveals a perfectly symmetrical Knights Templar cross. It's been said that the Washington Monument obelisk bottom arrow sits due north from the White House. This is not exactly true, as you can see in the photo above. In reality, the obelisk is directly south from the Masonic Temple, which sits 13 blocks north of the White House. In other words, these are all strategically placed and lined out. The temple is the headquarters of the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rites of Freemasonry, modeled after descriptions of the mausoleum of, I can't even say that name. It's one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. All right, see that there's a pagan Egyptian phallic symbol, and the Washington Monument looks identical to me. As mentioned earlier, the four sides of the Washington Monument are lined with the cardinal directions, east, west, north, south. At the ground level, each side of the monument measures 55.5 feet long, which is equal to 666 inches. The height of the obelisk is 55.5 feet, which, okay, you already said that. It represents the male sex organ, worshipped in nearly all pagan cultures. It is a symbol of man's carnal power and might. Satanism and the occult are saturated with sexual perversion, child molesting, and human sacrifices. Most worshipers in these groups deny such claims, but some have openly professed it, such as the godless bisexual Aleister Crowley. Such immoral occult influences are prevalent in rock music, feminism, and even in Walt Disney movies such as The Chronicles of Narnia, that we thought was a Christian movie. In this photo, I've indicated both the White House left and the Capitol building right. The square and compass symbol stretches from the White House to the Capitol. To the east of the Capitol sits a complete hexagram. See, it's all laid out in all these places. All right. A bird's eye view of the Capitol building reveals a figure resembling an owl. The owl is a symbol which represents a pagan deity. Nocturnal birds are symbols of sorcery and metaphysics because black magic cannot function in the light of day or in the light of truth and is powerful only when surrounded by ignorance, the night. The owl is considered wise because the creature is able to see through the darkness of ignorance and materiality. Hence, its association with the goddess Athena and its veneration during the nocturnal cremation of a care ceremony at the Bohemian Grove. Okay. In his book, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, pagan David Ovison states that there are zodiacs in this city and at least 1,000 zodiacal and planetary symbols. Washington, D.C. is absolutely infested with occult and astrology symbols. In this book, he documents the location of over 23 satanic zodiacs in the federal district alone. Why should God bless America? Above the dome of the Capitol building stands Lady Liberty, the goddess Isis. And the Statue of Liberty is also Isis. Here's the, yeah. All right, at our U.S. Capitol building is the star of the pagan god Mars. Guarding the entrance to the Capitol building is Nimrod, or Baal, in the likeness of the Roman god Mars, whom the Egyptian called Osiris. As you can see from the image below, this entrance is identical to that of the Roman Parthenon of the gods, as well as the Greek Parthenon. There are several significant buildings in the District of Columbia which these ancient designs, including the White House. The central part of the Supreme Court building is modeled after the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Now this is just D.C. We're talking a 10 square mile place. George Washington Masonic Memorial, modeled after descriptions of the Pharos of Alexandria, another wonder of the ancient world, sits across the Potomac in Alexandria, Virginia, just inside the diagonal square border of D.C. The pagan goddesses of justice used in the USA. The Statue of Washington in the Smithsonian Museum of American History was modeled after descriptions of the Statue of Zeus at Olympia. One of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the museum is aligned to the cardinal directions. The statue sits at the western end of the main floor facing. So guys, these connect all over the world, these demonic networks. All right, compare this portrayal of Washington to the images of Zeus and Baphomet. Do you notice any similarities? Then it talks about the pyramid on our dollar. Okay. And see, our money. I mean, it's all, we're touching it every day. Satanic symbols everywhere. Gotta come down. All right, the basic Illuminati structure and its relation to corporating satanic bodies. The Great White Brotherhood. Here it is. They're the real white supremacist. And there's the pyramid, but that's the world right there. starts, let's see, the special positions at the top of the pyramid capstone are those who are wholly committed to the Luciferian ideology, i.e. a totalitarian, godless police state. We citizens are the slaves on the bottom of the pyramid, all a part of the Illuminati, whether we like it or not. Please notice that you're only looking at the top capstone of the Great Pyramid above. Oh, that's just the capstone, excuse me. We average Joe citizens are part of the pyramid's base, not displayed. They consider us useless eaters. All right. These things are real, folks. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 that the masses of this world will be deceived when the Antichrist comes because they don't love the truth of God's word. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All right, the Pentagon. Walt Disney's History Channel has featured several amazing shows about the secrets enshrouding Washington, D.C., the Pentagon, Freemasonry, the NSA, and other government agencies. Certainly nothing is shared with the public that the globalists don't want us to know. In fact, by giving the public a bone to chew on, it actually provides enough disinformation and deception to mislead curious truth seekers. I've learned to always remember that everything being told to the public is what they want us to know. Everything that the U.S. news media tells the public is deliberate misinformation, giving you something to think about while still avoiding critical and sensitive key issues. People think that they know, but they do not know. The History Channel portrays the Pentagon as an organization whose true purpose is to protect Americans, but it's all a lie of the devil. The true agenda behind the Pentagon, the CIA, Homeland Security, NSA, and all that America was built upon is rooted in the demonic cult of Freemasonry, whose true purpose is to build the beast system of the coming Antichrist, a.k.a. the New World Order. As the god of this evil world, that 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is behind the overthrow of the American Republic and liberty. It was all in the planning from the very beginning, money and information or power, which are the heart of the New World Order. Their greatest focus is not ownership as much as control. Whoever controls a nation's money and information controls the people. As a born-again Christian, I rejoice that God has nothing to hide. Jesus plainly stated in John 18:20, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I never taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Occult groups like Freemasonry hide their true nature and plans because they are evil. Truth, love, and righteousness do not need to hide behind closed doors, nor hold secret rituals, nor recruit members through means of sworn oaths to murder fellow members who seek secrecy. This is one thing that I believe that there will no longer be allowed secret societies. I'm glad to be a Christian with nothing to hide. God has nothing to hide. Truth needs no defense. Remember the word the Lord gave me about the truth is what will remain standing? Lies must be continually be bolstered to keep it going, like the 9/11 deception. But the truth always becomes self-evident. The truth about the 9/11 attacks is self-evident amongst the abundance of evidence. It's the lying mainstream news media that has covered up, buried, and denied key evidence to protect the criminals at large in the Bush administration, the royal family of Saudi Arabia. I remember after 9/11, you know, they cracked down on our liberties because of what supposedly the Saudis did. They cracked down on ours. You can no longer go in the airport without having everything searched. See, it started cracking down on our liberties. That's what it did. It was a false flag event, just like this gun grab with school shootings. It's to take away our guns and put restrictions on gun owners. Now they're talking about making every gun owner take out liability insurance. If anything happens with whoever uses that gun and something happens, you have insurance. All right, President Franklin D. Roosevelt was a wicked 33-degree Freemason, incredibly evil man, under whose administration the occult symbols were placed upon our money. Roosevelt passed laws outlawing the private ownership of gold. I remember people were threatened with prison if they didn't give up their gold. allegedly part of the new government New Deal to remedy the Great Depression. In truth, the government confiscated 10,000 or 10 million of citizen-owned gold at $20 per troy ounce. And then a year later, Roosevelt raised the price of gold to $35 an ounce, thus nearly doubling the price of gold and making the Illuminati filthy rich at the expense of the Americans. Nothing new here. The Pentagon is an absolute fascinating marvel of modern architecture. Each day, 23,000 employees work at the Pentagon. The building contains 17 miles of hallways and occupies 90 million square feet? It takes 7 minutes through special access corridors to walk directly across the facility. The Pentagon is its own hospital, Best Buy retail store, upteen restaurants, shoe store, etc. It's literally a small city with its own mayor. The Pentagon has its own police and fire force. Perhaps the most shocking fact is that at the heart of the inner grounds called Ground Zero is a statue of an owl. Yes, an owl. Yeah, D.C. is not part of the U.S. Never has been. The illusion of the Pentagon being there for Americans is a lie. The Pentagon is controlled by the Marxist, Zionist, Communist Illuminati. The international banking cartel controls Wall Street, the White House, the Pentagon, the news media, the U.S., the military, the entertainment industry, etc. There are only two sides, Jesus Christ or Satan. Whose side are you on? Satan always uses the Bible to deceive people, as did the serpent to confuse Eve. The devil even tried to confuse Jesus with the Bible. Some of the most evil people in this world profess faith in God and have a form of religion, as 2 Timothy 3:5 warns. The Bible says to turn away from such evil people. Many of them are sincerely deceived by the devil, actually believing that they are on God's side by serving Satan and evil. The Bible warned that evil people would one day kill Christians thinking they were doing God's will. All right, let me get a drink here. I know this is long and it may even be boring to you, but you're going to understand it. About, we can't just be flippant and pray flippant prayers and think we're going to take out this evil regime. The international conspiracy, it means Satan is the god of this world, just as 2 Corinthians 4:4 declares. We see far too many articles on the internet today exposing the occult, but not enough that tie it all in the Word of God. Folks, a bunch of facts will never make any sense until you shine the light of God's Word upon it. The Word of God is the missing key. Satan is the god of this sinful world, and he controls his servants through occult organizations such as Freemasonry, Skull and Bones, and Bohemian Grove. The term Illuminati refers to the highest and most evil people in the pyramid structure. Few people realize that communism is simply a mask for the New World Order. Please read about the Lucifer Trust. The hidden secret behind communism is that Wall Street bankers were instrumental in creating it. I recently read an excellent book, Pawns in the Game, by William Guy Carr. 1958. If you want to learn all the details of the CFR and the Illuminati and their sinister evil plan to take over the world, then this is the book to read. Pawns in the Game exposes how every major war over the past 250 years has been deliberately caused, financed, and profited from by the money lenders. As shocking as it may sound, this includes the American Revolution, which gave birth to America. On pages 49 through 58, William Guy Carr tells how the American Revolution was plotted and planned by the same international group which plotted the English and French revolutions, and how the international financiers obtained control of the American economy. You'll never hear the truth in a public school classroom. People listen to those who continually cry, as they did in Spain. Communism can never cause a revolution here. They listen to those who give them a sense of false security. The majority of citizens are like children who hide their heads under the blankets when they fear danger. It should be remembered that pulling the bedclothes over one's head never saved a person from an assassin or a rapist or an exploding bomb. Okay. I couldn't have described Americans today any better. They're only listening to those who give them a sense of false security. They're hiding their heads under their blankets. Okay. This is the following quote from a page from the International Conspiracy. Few people seem to appreciate that Lucifer is the highest and most intelligent of the heavenly host, and because he is a pure spirit, he is indestructible. The scripture tells us his power is such that he caused one-third of the most intelligent of the heavenly host to defect from God and join him. Because he claimed God's plan for the rule of the universe is weak and impractical because it is based on the premise that lesser things can be taught to know, love, and wish to serve him voluntarily out of respect for his own infinite perfections. The Luciferian ideology states might is right. It claims beings of proven superior intelligence have the right to rule those less gifted because the masses don't know what is best for them. That's the quote. That was a quote from Obama when he was in office. We don't have enough sense. The American people don't have enough sense to govern themselves. The Luciferian ideology is what we call totalitarianism today. The Old Testament is simply the history of how Satan became prince of the world and caused our first parents to defect from God. It relates how the synagogue of Satan was established on this earth. It tells how it has worked since to prevent God's plan for the rule of the universe being established on this earth. Christ came to earth when the conspiracy reached the stage that, to use his own words, Satan controlled all those in high places. He exposed the synagogue of Satan. He denounced those who belonged to it as the sons of the devil, Lucifer, whom he castrated as a father of lies. Castigated as a father of lies. Okay. He was specific in his statement that those who comprised the synagogue of Satan were those who called themselves Jews but were not and did lie. He identified the money changers, the bankers, the scribes, and Pharisees as the Illuminati of his day. In 1774, an act of God placed by the Bavarian government is in possession of evidence which proved the existence of the continuing Luciferian conspiracy. Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit-trained professor of canon law, defected from Christianity, embraced the Luciferian ideology while teaching in Goldstad University. In 1770, the moneylenders who had recently organized the House of Rothschild retrained him to revise and modernize the age-old protocols designed to give the synagogue of Satan ultimate world domination so it can expose Luciferian ideology upon what remains of the human race after the final social cataclysm by use of satanic despotism. Weishaupt completed his task May 1, 1776. The plan required the destruction of all existing governments and religions. This objection was to be reached by dividing the masses, whom he termed Goyim, meaning human cattle, into opposing camps. I heard an interview, part of it, of someone talking about the Goyim. It was a Jew. Or those that call themselves Jews and are not Jews. That's what Israel will be dealt with last. They're the biggest crooks of all. All right, a contract to build concentration camps in America. The truth is that our political leaders are pawns in a global game controlled by murderous and sinister thugs who manipulate this world's wealth and resources. Our political leaders are mere puppets to the puppeteers, and we are the gullible sheep. This above is a photo. It shows a panel. Here's a photo of Condoleezza Rice at the United Nations in 2005 with the number 666 behind her. Notice how the logo below was cleverly designed to emphasize the number 6, celebrating the UN's 60th anniversary to appear as 666 above. 666 will be the number of the name of the beast, not necessarily the number of his mark placed upon people's hands or foreheads. There is much confusion concerning the mark of the beast and 666, the name of the beast. We know that the name is 666 of the beast. However, we do not know what the mark of the beast will be that will go into the people's hands and brow. All right. 666 will be the number of a man, the Antichrist, okay? We don't know what the mark of the beast will be. The Bible does not say. It may or may not be 666. The mark will likely be invisible RFID ink placed on the body. It will be in the right hand or in the forehead. Okay. That's about the size of it. All right. Yeah, I just wanted y'all... No, don't do it. No, that's not it. That's just part of it. Sorry. Now we're going to get down to more personal level here. Satan has his minions throughout the whole earth, and they have built structures and ley lines that open portals that have the that lets the ungodly come into the earth. Now, what I'm about to share with you is the book by Laura Sanger. And she's going to describe here about some of the things that she uncovered in her research. All right. A portal is a passageway connecting the spiritual realm with the earth realm. Did you get that? All right. A portal is a passageway connecting the spiritual realm with the earth realm. Now, we talked about the different places where it says the pit, things came up out of the pit in the book of Revelation, and we've all thought, doo-doo-doo-doo, that's one of those things just happens in the last day, and it's going to be like a Star Wars movie and all, we're going to see all this stuff happening. No, these things have been happening for a long time. These pits have been opening. CERN, through their technology, has opened portals and let things in on the earth. All right, I'm going to look at Genesis 28. All right, we're going to look at verse 10. Start with 10. This is a scriptural reference to just what I said to you. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took off, and he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angel of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and the north and south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob wakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is that place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now you remember when the movie Stargate came out? You know, the Lord spoke to me, these travelers, these things that come in on the earth are interdimensionals. They're coming from other dimensions. All right. They're not coming from faraway planets and galaxies and things. They're coming through dimensions. They've learned to open portals. From, like I read to you, the pull and the portal. All right. What is the objective of spiritual warfare? It's severing the connection along the ley lines by cleansing the land through prayer. Okay, we're going to look at Numbers. This is Numbers 35. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. You want to know why God's not doing things? Our land's defiled. Think about how many abortions alone. Not talking about all the other carnage that's happened. The state of Texas is polluted with the blood of many babies. Abortion passed in Texas and all the other states followed. All right, Deuteronomy 29. Verse 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old. You and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came into this place, Shihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave for it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and the Gadites, to the half tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of the water, that thou shouldest enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God, into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dealt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. These there should be among you, man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. This is what pollutes the land. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. But in the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. All the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the lot shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law. So the generation to come of your children that rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is now not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, where they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, whom they had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. The Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So what's happening? What's going on right now in our nation? What is the plan all about? Restoring the land. Restoring the nation. Weeding out all the wicked, all the evil. God can't bless us. He wants to, but he can't bless us with a polluted land. Not like he wants to. I'm glad he's cleaning it up. Okay, Isaiah 35. This is all through the old covenant. You know, God doesn't change. His moral law does not change. He hated it from the beginning, and he hates it now. Especially the shedding of innocent blood. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. This is the restoration that's going on. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now you can understand why there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth after the 1,000-year reign and that last battle of Armageddon when the Satan is put in the lake of fire forever. God will destroy the heaven and earth, and he'll build a new one, make a new one that doesn't have blood, doesn't have all the defilement in it. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man walk as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be not found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So when you remove the evil, guess what happens? Health, healing, prosperity just happens. It just springs forth. Isaiah 40. I've heard 107 say about the phallic symbol. He said, and they say, God bless America, we got ISIS in New York Harbor guarding the harbor. You got a phallic symbol, and we're supposed to say, God bless America? What can he bless? Maybe it's not that he doesn't want to, it's that he cannot. That's scary. 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Their iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good things, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. This is how it will be when our land is no longer polluted. All right, sometimes to redeem the land, history must be researched. Ley lines don't just go away when a generation dies out. They'll go from bloodline to bloodline. They will continue over the space of time. What happened in Noah's day didn't just go away. We're dealing with it. Jesus said this, when he came, it will be just like in the days of Noah. Is it? Yeah, it is. And I forgot to bring, I was going to read to you about Enoch, where it talks about some things. No, maybe that's Wednesday night. Okay, here's some key points. First point, portals, gates, grids, and ley lines are either redeemed or defiled. There's good ley lines. See, that's what we're doing. We're building the Lord's house, his structure, his network, his order, his government. It's replacing the old demonic. Yeah. Defiled spiritual grids have a deleterious effect for people living among its boundaries. In other words, if it's evil, that's what you're going to see. If it's righteous, that's what you're going to see. Broken covenants, bloodshed, idolatry, immorality, and fornication create strongholds. Most prominent alchemical symbol is the circumpunct, which represents gold and the worship of the sun, like Nebuchadnezzar's statue, which is the same height as the phallic symbol in Washington, the Vatican, and London. Is that what the deep state are trying to get us to do right now? You know, this is in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar wanted the Hebrew children to bow down, and they weren't going to bow down. Said everyone had to bow down. When they heard the music play, they had to bow down or they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace. Is that what's happening? Is that what the deep state's trying to get us to do now? Through their stuff, trying to put pressure on us to do things, to bow? All right. This is serious business. The enemy has certainly taken it seriously. Jesus told the parable about the tares among the wheat. The deep state slogan, hidden in plain sight, that's exactly what that is, hidden in plain sight. What they've been doing from generation to generation, they've been putting the tares among the wheat. All right. For those that are serious and know what we are here to do, we know we're here to do a good warfare. We must get the strategy of our Lord, the commander-in-chief of God's warriors. We got to get busy and do what he tells us to do. King David was a warrior and he set a godly example before us. This is 2 Samuel 2. I'm not just telling you to get in your flesh and just go do something. This warfare has to be led by the Spirit of God, okay? It all points back to what we had before. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. We can't defeat the enemy with carnal means. You can have 100 million rallies and do your truck rallies or whatever you want to do, but the real deal is behind the scenes, under the ground where nobody sees, are these demonic ley lines, open portals, all these things that have to be closed and taken out. All right? And it came to pass after this, verse 1, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. So when they took out Hebron, what did they do? They occupied it. They occupied it. They didn't just do it to do it. They did it to occupy it. See, once we take out these entities, then we need to call in what we want it replaced with. God's instructions. They took out the enemy and they occupied the conquered territory. Okay, 2 Samuel 5. They didn't just go conquer a land for no reason. Now here David, he's just been crowned king, and look what shows up in his front yard. This is 17. But when the Philistines heard that they anointed King David over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Ephraim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall we go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Beth Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. See, they're cleaning out the swamp here. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be when thou hearest the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Took the land. They come across idols and all this stuff, they burned them. I heard yesterday that, and we'll see, that the 34 targets, that when this so-called solar flare happens, this is when they're going to set off all the nukes, not nukes, but whatever they're going to use, the rods of God or whatever they're going to use to take out these 34 satanic structures. Yeah. We'll see. Okay. What did Jesus tell us to do? Luke 19. And as they heard these sayings, he added and spake a parable because it was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. You know, I just noticed that. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. See, they thought it's just going to instantly appear. But no, he gave them something to do. He gave them something to do. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, or reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take it from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So everybody wants the kingdom of God to appear, but nobody wants to do anything about getting the kingdom in here. You know what I'm saying? About occupying. Jesus has given us something to do. He gave them the talents and he said, now occupy. Take what he gave you and use it to occupy. Then what did he do? This is 45. I just read that. Let's see. Oh, he demonstrated it right here. 45. And he went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chiefs of the people sought to destroy him. See, he went in the temple and kicked the devil out of the temple. There you go. There's your occupying. He taught them and he demonstrated it. This is from one of the last books that C. Peter Wagner wrote. It features several ministers called into strategic warfare. They give some examples of spiritual mapping based on their experiences. And we're nearly done here. First, we must base our ministry on God's word and his revelation. We must be certain we are living in holiness before we go. We'll be like the sons of Sceva. Seven sons of Sceva. We got to know we're walking where we should be walking. Our love walk, our faith walk. We must be sent by God in his time and with his authority. We must conduct our research according to the instructions we have received. We must report our information without personal or prejudice or prejudiced opinions. We must keep an attitude of faith in the power of God. Spiritual mapping is like intelligent forces of an army. Through it, we go behind enemy lines to understand the enemy's plans and fortifications. We do spiritual espionage. Spiritual mapping combines research, divine revelation, and confirmatory evidence in order to provide complete and exact data concerning the identity, strategies, and methods employed by spiritual forces of darkness to influence the people and the churches of a given region. Bottom line, we must get our strategic battle plan from the Holy Spirit. Just like David inquired of the Lord, and he told him, well, this time, do it this way. Wait till you hear the sound on the top of the mulberry trees. Don't do it like you did last time. Do it this way. This is my kind of, I didn't write this down, but this is kind of what I was thinking. Look in your own backyard first. North, south, east, west. You know, just if you like a circle, just work your circle. Work your circle. Get it bigger, get it bigger, get it bigger. Unless the Lord tells you something different. Starting in your own backyard is a good place to start to take out the enemy.